Praise the Lord. Something hit me yesterday. I don't know what it was, but I hear somebody over here coughing, and it just...
We can hack it.
Yeah, amen, amen. But yesterday morning, it just came on strong, and so I was all day. This morning, it's like, you know, so I apologize. I'm obviously not as, you know, I usually am, you know, and I asked the... Brother, to crank it up, and so it sounds good, and thank the Lord for that. So just bear with me, if you would, please. I'm going to try to get through. I figured it's better for me to do this than to call and say, I can't come. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the Lord will help us to get through. Amen. And, well, if you have a Bible, would you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, please? And by the way, I'm not shaking hands because I don't want to give out anything. Amen. So I'm not being unkind or unfriendly, by no means. Lamentations, if you will, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. I want to look at verse number 22 and 23, if you would. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse number 22 and 23. Very familiar portion of Scripture. In fact, there's a great hymn that's been developed from this Scripture, and that's God's great faithfulness. Amen. Lamentations is a book, well, you think of the word lament. To lament means to weep. Jeremiah the prophet wrote the book of Jeremiah, but then he also wrote the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah preached to the nation of Israel, especially Judah, and he warned them to get right with the Lord, or the Lord was going to deal with them. And Jeremiah preached before the captivity. Jeremiah preached through the captivity. And as the Babylonians came in and destroyed the nation of Israel and took the people captive, Lamentations is Jeremiah looking back at what God had done in dealing with his people. And by the way, that was God's dealing with the children of Israel. They could have listened to the Lord and spared themselves some grief, but the Lord allowed the Babylonians to come and to deal with the city and the people. And so Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, is just one big weeping. We call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. In fact, you remember Jesus looking over Jerusalem, and he wept over what he knew was going to happen. Remember, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and kill those that are sent unto thee. How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Now your house is left unto you desolate. He knew that the Romans were going to come in and were going to ravish that. Jeremiah looks back and he weeps over what God did. Jesus looked forward and he wept over what God was going to do because of the children of Israel just would not submit to the Lord. But one of the great things about this text here, and look at Jeremiah 3, look at verse number 22. Jeremiah said this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Now I want you to understand something. Habakkuk prophesied the Lord was going to use the nation of Babylon to destroy the children of Israel. In fact, Habakkuk couldn't understand why God would use such a wicked people to destroy his own people. And then finally Habakkuk settled it. The Lord knows what he's doing. But Habakkuk prayed, "Lord, in judgment, remember mercy." He prayed for God to be merciful in his dealings with the nation of Israel. Jeremiah, in this text, looking back at what God had done, he saw the mercy of God. You know what's amazing? How can somebody look at God's chastening and God's dealing and say, "Man, God is merciful"? Here's how he did it. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not, the big word is consumed. You know what that means? Totally wiped out. You see, God promised the children of Israel that there would always be a remnant. Amen? There had to be a remnant because the Messiah had to come through the nation of Israel. Amen? Jeremiah looked and he said, Lord, I know you dealt with us in a tremendous way, and I weep over what happened, but in the midst of my weeping, I'm so thankful that you're so merciful. Amen? You have not, I like what the psalmist says, you have not given us what we rightfully deserve. Amen? As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Amen? Hey, God has dealt with me in the past, and I'm sure he'll deal with me in the future. What child of his doesn't get dealt with, right? But I'm so glad that he does it in mercy. Amen? He does it in mercy. But we find verse number 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not totally consumed, if you will, because his compassion, that's his love right there, it fails not. I love that. Amen? Verse number 23, they, his love and mercy, are new what? Every morning. Every morning. Every day we get up, God is telling us there's mercy and love for you today. Amen? And may we seize that and may we use that. And by the way, great is his faithfulness because it's day after day after day. Amen? I'm having a hard time, man. I want to get going. you sense the restraint. Oh, boy. But anyway, oh, by the way, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I brought my wife. Some of you don't realize I really am married. And I do have a wife, amen. My wife's a nurse, so I had to bring her, especially for my medical situation, amen. I told her if I fall out, I want her to be the only one that has to resuscitate me, amen. But anyway, I thank the Lord Nina was able to come. Not all the time she was able to come, she was able to come today, and I thank the Lord for that. But anyway, some of you were beginning to wonder, is the man really married or not? He talks about her, but anyway, I want to speak to you just a little bit this morning. In fact, I don't doubt that it's going to spill over to the next service, and that's fine, right? Amen. If you're spilling the word of God, you're spilling a good thing, amen. In fact, I think of the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. Amen. You know what I think about that verse? When my cup is filled, that's for me. But when it runs over, that's for others. Amen. I want you to look with me in Deuteronomy, please. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. I want to talk to you about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Amen. How many people have ever heard that song? He's been faithful to me. That's a wonderful song. He's been faithful to me. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness, amen? And we all ought to be very grateful for his faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, if you would, please. I want to speak a little bit this morning on the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And I want you to look with me and look at verse number 6. And by the way, Deuteronomy is the second law, second time the law is being reiterated to the children of Israel. Amen. The Lord gave the law in the book of Exodus, but then it's reiterated in the book of Deuteronomy to the generation that's about ready to enter into the promised land. Amen. The Lord had given the law to that generation that came out of Egypt, but that generation, most of them all died off in the wilderness because of their lack of faith to go into the promised land. Amen. But Deuteronomy was written for the second generation that was getting to go into the promised land. And it's a book that says, look, you live for God in that land and God will bless you. Amen. And that's about the essence of it. But one of the things that was said in this book in Deuteronomy chapter 7, look at verse number 6. The Lord speaking to the nation of Israel says, for thou art a holy people. In fact, let me just say this. I can't read verses 1 to 5, but he tells them when you get into the land, live separated. Don't live like the people of the land. Don't live with the people of the land. In fact, they were supposed to overcome those people, get them out of the way so that they can live in that land the way God wanted them to. And by the way, you and I know because we've read the scriptures that they didn't do what God told them to do. They mingled with the people. In fact, because they mingled, they got mangled. Amen. They did the truth. I mean, they mingled with the people. Before you know it, it destroyed them. They started worshiping their gods. They started living like them, and it just kind of ruined. So God warned them. He said, look, you're going into a land and you need to drive out these people, but don't live like them. Don't live with them. You are a holy people. You're my people. Amen. And by the way, the parallel for you and I as God's people in this sinful world is the same. We're a holy people unto the Lord. Amen. Look at verse number 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people. That's wonderful, isn't it? That are upon the face of the earth. Now look at verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number. Well, ain't that something? Let me just stop right there for a moment. Think about that. What is it that most people do in deciding today many different things? How many people are doing that? How many people do you have? How many people are going there? Look, God's not always in the numbers. Amen? In fact, there are more people gathering at the stadiums today, I think, probably than churches today. If God was going with the numbers, he would be at the football games and not at the local churches. Can I get a witness on that one? He told Israel, by the way, Israel was a small nation. Israel came from a man, amen? It was a mighty work of God. And I'm so glad that, you know, we got to be careful. We don't pick and choose based on how many. We got to pick and choose based on is the Lord there, amen? Look at verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were what? The fewest of all people. Hallelujah. He chose the fewest. He chose the fewest. Verse number 8. Here's why he chose them. But because the Lord what? Loved you. And because he would what? Keep the oath which he sworn unto your fathers. See, God made an oath. God made a covenant. God made a promise with the nation of Israel. He told Abraham, I'm going to bring out of you a mighty nation, multitudes of people. Amen. How many people remember when God said to Abraham, Abraham, look up into the sky. Can you count the number of the stars? That's how many children you're going to have. He said, Abraham, look at the sand on the ground. Can you count the grains of sand? That's how, by the way, it's not said in the scriptures, but I believe personally that the stars were a picture of the church. Those that are not of Abraham's flesh, but of Abraham's faith. And then the earth, the ground, the children of Israel always focused on the ground, the earth. The sand is a picture of the nation of Israel. Multitudes, by the way, Ephesians is the heavenly book. You and I that are saved, we're in the heavens already with the Lord. Amen. And so his descendants by flesh and by faith are going to be many. Amen. Verse number, by the way, so God made a covenant. God made a promise with Abraham of you and your wife are going to come a mighty nation. And then we know there are many covenants God made, many promises God made to the nation of Israel. They would have the land of Israel. You remember that? This land God was going to give them. In fact, he brought them out of the land of Egypt and he did not yet bring them into the promised land. This is exactly where they're at. They're in the middle. God took them out of Egypt and God was going to bring them into the promised land. Why? Because the promised land. Why would God bring them up out of Egypt and bring them into the, because that's what God promised. In fact, didn't Joseph say, hey, when you get out of Egypt, get my bones out of here. Amen. Because I know God's going to get us out of here and he promised us. And by the way, he's a faithful God. Watch this now. Look at verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were most. So verse number 8. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep his oath that he has sworn unto your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. He did a mighty work because he promised to bring you out. And by the way, he didn't just promise to get him out of Egypt. He promised to get him into the promised land. Amen. And by the way, the promised land is not a picture of heaven. I know we have many, many songs about standing on Jordan's banks and, you know, the promised land being a picture of, it's not a picture of heaven. Because if you got to fight when you get to heaven, that's not heaven. Can I get a witness on that one? I'll tell you what a promised land is a picture of that I believe. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's got hills and valleys. You got your battles, but you got your victories. Amen. And that's exactly what happens. He gets us out of Egypt, which is a picture of the world. He gets us into the victorious Christian life. And although sometimes some Christians get stuck in the wilderness. Because of what? Book of Hebrews, mainly a lack of faith. It takes faith to enter into the rest that God has given. Amen. That victory, that promised land. Verse number 8, he said, but the mighty hand he brought you out. He redeemed you out of the house of what? Bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Boy, there's a picture of the devil right there. Now look at verse 9, because here's the key verse I want you to get. So we're talking about God saying to the children of Israel that he got you out and he's getting ready to get you in, and he's doing it because he loved you and he made a promise to you. Verse number 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, here it is, he is God, what? The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy unto them that love him, and so on and so on. He's the faithful God. Amen. Oh, great is his faithfulness. I want you to let me quote some scriptures for you for a moment. I try to write some out so it'll save us some time. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. All his word is faithful. Amen. Listen to Psalm 119, 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous, and get this, very faithful. You know, it's one thing to say this book is faithful. This book is very faithful. Amen. Isaiah 25, 1 says, thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Paul encouraged Titus to hold fast the faithful word. Amen. This word that you and I have is the word of the king. Amen. And God is faithful. And let me, by the way, I didn't even give you the point. I jumped right into it. I forgot to tell you the point. Number one, we're actually talking about this. The point number one is God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his promises. Amen. I'm so excited about this. I jumped right into it and didn't give you the point. Amen. God is faithful to his promises. Amen. And that's why I actually read Deuteronomy. He promised to get him out and he promised to get him in, and he's faithful to his promise. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Revelation, chapter number 21. God is faithful to his promises. And I'm so glad. By the way, you got to get in the book to know what he's faithful, what he faithfully promised. Amen. Hey, you and I need to know the exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. We need promises, promises. Amen. We got to keep, if you got to know them to claim them. Amen. You got to know, we got to know them to claim them. Revelation chapter number 21. I want you to look with me, please, and look at verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Boy, that sounds good already. Can I get a witness on that? The older you get, the better it sounds. Amen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, not everybody understands what that statement, no more sea, means. And I won't say that I don't understand it, but I'll tell you one thing. I've learned from the Old Testament, especially when you often talk about the sea, you talk about troubles. Can I get a witness on that one? I promise you in heaven, according to, I'm sorry, I don't promise you. He promises us in heaven, no more problems, that's for sure. Look at verse number 2. I, John, saw what? The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. In fact, the very verse today talking about bride adorned, if you will. Amen. That's what Jesus is doing. He's purifying us. We're already pure in the eyes of the Lord because of the blood of Christ. Amen. But he's even practically purifying us more and more. Verse number 2 said, John said, I saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what the church is. And he's preparing us. Amen. Verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a reunion. What a reunion. Look at verse number 4. And God shall what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more crying. No more crying. No more crying. Amen. And there shall be what? No more what? Death. neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more what? Pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things what? New. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What is he saying? You can count on this. I wonder why God had to add that at the end of this verse. Because to us, it just sounds too good to be true. Can I get a witness? We live in a land of pain. We live in a land of sorrow. We live in the land where upper takers are. Or undertakers. The upper takers up there, amen. We live in this land and that's all we've known. And when we're told about what it's going to be like, how beautiful heaven must be. Amen? What's that other song that the children sing? Heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I long to see my Savior. Amen? Why describing heaven like this? You got to reassure me. This is true. You can count on it. Amen? This is faithful saying. Turn to Revelation. We're right in the neighborhood. Look at chapter 22. We're talking about, by the way, that is the eternal state right there. Amen? Oh, what a day that will be. Amen? What a day that will be. Revelation chapter number. I'm saying he's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his promises. Revelation 22, look at verse number 1 to 6. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. No sea, but there's a river. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse. We can thank all sin, sickness, and sorrow to the curse. As soon as sin entered into the world, death came with it. And every other agony came with it. Amen? But there, in heaven, no more curse. Amen? He goes on to say, verse number 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. I know for sure without a doubt that when he comes, 1 John 3, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light for the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which will shortly come to pass. Again, he describes heaven. And at the end of it, he says, listen, this ain't fancy. This ain't a story. This ain't fairy tales. We read fairy tale books. We watch fairy tale movies. And everything always looks good. And there's a hope, if you will. This is the truth because it's God's holy word. Amen? And at the end of the description of heaven, it's these things are faithful. You can count on it. Because he promised. Amen? Titus, don't turn there. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, hath promised. Amen? God cannot lie, and he promised eternal life, heaven, to those of us that believe. Amen? And by the way, let me just throw this out there for free. Heaven is a real place. Can I get a witness on that one? If it wasn't, why did Jesus say, hey, when you pray, pray our Father, which art in heaven. In fact, Jesus talked in John 14. He said, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And for what I saw, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a real place. And according to what we just read, let me say this. Heaven's a restricted place. No more death. No more dying. No more pain. No more curse. All the restricted things is going to make heaven a beautiful place. You know, a lot of people say, I hate restrictions. You know what? Restrictions are wonderful. I have a problem with the churches that say they're the church without walls. Do you know the implication means? You know, anybody can come and go. Now, we understand anybody can come into the house of God, and we hope they do. In fact, we hope they get saved. But I think most of these people mean we're a church without walls, meaning we just, everybody come and as you are and leave as you are. That's not a good thing. In fact, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, I don't think would approve the church without wall thing. Can I get a witness on that one? Nehemiah said, no, I think God's people need a wall. Keep the wrong people out and keep the right people in. Amen. And I believe that this book right here is our wall. There are people that come in here and we do have walls and they hear what they don't want to hear and they leave because this kind of wall stops them sometimes. And that's fine. That's fine. Amen. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a restricted place. But let me give you another thought too. According to what we're reading, heaven's a resting place. In the book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 14, 13. I'm not sure. It says, and they shall rest from their labors. Rest. Heaven is, by the way, I remember thinking about this thought. It's not going to be a rest because of a lack of activity. I think it's going to be a rest because of a lack of anxiety. Can I get a witness? Because you can be resting and doing nothing physically, but inside have a lot of anxiety and there's no rest on the inside. In fact, did not Jesus say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your what? Souls. There's more than a physical rest. There's a spiritual rest on the inside. But in heaven, it's going to be rest every which way. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful place. I almost want to sing how beautiful heaven must be. Amen. But anyway, heaven's a real place. It's a restricted place. It's a resting place. Here's another one. It's a rejoicing place. You know why heaven's a rejoicing place? In fact, let me just say this. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You know what that means? Uninterrupted, unhindered joy. You know why? There's nothing in heaven to rob us of the joy. Everything that robs us of joy is restricted. You know, when you and I get peaks of joy in this life, what do we say? Enjoy it now. Can I get a witness on that? Why? You know it's not going to last. You know? Because we live here. Because of where we live. Amen. And if you live in the city of Philadelphia, you know it ain't going to last real long. Amen. Heaven's a real place. It's a restricted place. It's a resting place. It's a rejoicing place. But let me throw this out there too. Heaven's a reserved place. And I say it this way. You got to make your reservations now. Amen. You can't do, well, I'll wait till I get there. And then we'll see that big scale in the sky. No, there is no big scale in the sky, by the way. I read the book from beginning to end. I studied it. I'm studying it. And I've never seen the scale. The scale is probably with purgatory. I don't know wherever that's at. Amen. It's not there. You have to reserve a place now by trusting Christ. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. You know, some people, well, you can't know now. That's the sin of presumption. I don't think so. If knowing now is a sin of presumption, I'm living in sin. Amen. God is faithful to his promises. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. And what a promise heaven is to you and I that are saved. Amen. By the way, that's what we just do. We just simply believe his promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Simple statements of the word of God. You know, trust. T-R-U-S-T, totally relying upon scriptural truth. That's all we do. Amen? You say, hey, you know you're going to heaven because God said it. Say it, amen? And I believe it. I believe, and thank God for you and I that are putting, by the way, we're putting our eternity in this book. Can I say this? Everybody's believing a book. Everybody you talk to or tries to talk to you about their religion, what are they bringing into it? They're bringing in book or books. Witnesses are bringing in their books. Mormons are bringing in their... Can I get a witness? Everybody's depending on a book. I'll depend on this book above all them books. Amen. You know one of the things that all these other religions do? They throw out the Bible and they say, oh, we depend on it too, but we got our catechism here. But we got the book of macaroni here. But we can I get... That's what they do. They're throwing in other books. And I'm saying, look, I'm just trusting this book. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. Amen. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Look at 1 Kings. In fact, I got to get there. I'm preaching a little too much. Oh, I got to chill out. 1 Kings chapter number 8. Solomon became the king, built a temple, dedicated it. 1 Kings chapter number 8. You know, it was Solomon's reign is a picture of the millennial kingdom. You know that, right? It was during his reign that the nation extended their territory and had peace. Amen. Perfect picture of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Amen. But God promised the children of Israel these things. And as Solomon prayed to the Lord and dedicated the temple, he says this. Look in 1 Kings chapter number 8. Look at verse number 56. 1 Kings 8, verse number 56. The Bible says this. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he what? Promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Amen. When Solomon was reigning and there was peace and there was prosperity and God was blessing, Solomon said, God has not failed to keep every word. By the way, that's why I believe in every word of his promise. Amen. Every word. He has not failed. He has not failed. Solomon, looking back, said, he has not failed. Watch this. Matthew 5:18. Jesus, looking forward, says this. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, that's not even a word, or one tittle, that's not even a word, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Solomon looked back and said, God has not failed to keep his promise. The greater than Solomon looked ahead and said, God will not fail. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you. One who will not fail. Jesus never fails. Amen? Jesus never fails. Let's go to one more verse as we close with this little challenge here. Turn to Hebrews, if you would, please. And we're going to pick up on the second point in the morning service. We're going to just talk about God's faithfulness this morning. He's faithful to his promises. Amen? He's faithful to his promises. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm so glad he's faithful to his promises. I need to start depending more on them. Why is it, and maybe you don't have to answer me this, but think about this. We rest our eternity. We rest our eternity on his promises. Isn't that truth? Why is it that we have a hard time resting our today in that promises? Are you like me? I know I'm going to heaven because God's word says and I believe it. And I rejoice in that. And I don't want to die. You know, somebody said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Some old man, I know there's no old men in here, so I could say this. Some old man was watching this little girl. And it was just about starting to get dark. And this little girl was running through the graveyard. This older fellow was looking, saying, my goodness. I mean, it's starting to get dark. You got the grave. I mean, that's a scary thought in itself, right? One day, this old man said to this young girl, he said, sweetie, let me ask you a question. How come you're not afraid to run through this graveyard over here when you do? She says, oh, I just live right beyond it. See, I'm not afraid of the grave because we know we live beyond that. Amen? We rest the most important things on the Lord's promises. We have to actually start trusting him on the simple things or what seems to be simple. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the ravens. God clothed, God fed. Oh, you of little faith, why are you doubting? What we need to do is what Sarah did. Not contextually what she did, but we need to do what she did. Watch this. Look at Hebrews 11:11. That's easy to remember, right? 11:11. The Bible says this, through faith. And by the way, we got to put faith in his promises, right? Through faith also Sarah herself, what? Received strength to conceive seed. By the way, she wasn't a normal age. She was in a place where it had to be a miracle. God made a promise to her and Abraham when they were way beyond the opportunity. Amen? But she believed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Watch this. Because, here it is, she judged him faithful who had promised. I hate the thought of it, but we got to start judging God. We need to judge him faithful. Amen? We need to say, I can trust him, not just with my eternal soul, which is forever, but I can trust him with myself, my loved ones, my family. Amen? May God help us to trust his faithfulness because he's faithful to his promises. Amen? The Lord willing, in the next service, we'll hit the second point of this message. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for getting us through the Sunday school time in spite of, Lord, just I know some are not feeling well myself. Thank you for the strength. Lord, I pray you'll bless our time of fellowship, and I pray that you'll bless the upcoming service. Be with the preacher, Lord. Watch over him. Keep him, Lord. Give him strength and grace, and be with Kelly and Jason and the baby and watch over them. We pray for your blessing in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.